Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Pretty much if you've lived in America your whole life, you hear about Israel fairly often. We all talk about Israel politically. We understand that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the Jewish nation, Israel, throughout the Old Testament, when you bother to study the Old Testament. And then, of course, as we move into the New Testament, kind of overshadowed to a certain extent by New Testament Christianity and the New Covenant and Christ. And now we have Christians where before we didn't. And so you have this whole situation where kind of the Jewish people and then the nation of Israel – are kind of a part of our heritage. We know they're there. We know it's important. But how important is it to us today? Well, there's some people it's really important. And for the most part, most of us, it's just kind of background noise. I think for a lot of us, it's part of our heritage as Christians. We know that's a big part of the Bible. We're happy when the nation of Israel is reestablished. We like it when President Trump is going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. But other than that, it doesn't have a huge impact on our lives. Well, my guest today, John Somerville, who was in the Marines for 30 years. So, sir, thank you for your service first and foremost. Is very passionate. In fact, has been to Israel, what you said, probably what, 90, 100 times now, John?
Probably. Pretty close to that.
And so very passionate has become really the focal point of his life, not just in leading tours and doing that, but really studying what's going on with the Jewish people and the role of the Jewish people, and even look where the Temple Mount is located. All kinds of things about Israel that most of us kind of take for granted or don't really spend much time thinking about anyway. But John's in town here in Raleigh, North Carolina for a couple of days, and a friend of mine reached out to me. And Patty, who's rather persistent, I would say persistent Patty, kind of reminds me of the widow from Scripture, the persistent widow. Not because I'm not saying Patty's looking at me through the glass in the studio like I'm calling her something. No, I'm calling you persistent Patty. So take it easy. Everything's fine. But she told me you got to meet John Somerville and you got to have him on the show. And so I've been reading a fascinating book called The Rise and Fall of the British Empire, which really looks at, I love this tagline, consequences of decision to either bless or curse the Jewish people. He's so passionate about it. And John's in town for a couple of days. So it's great to have you on the show, John. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And We'll end up talking a lot about not just the trips to Israel that you're doing and how you do those tours, but the role of the Jewish nation and how we should think about that as New Testament Christians. But kind of let's go in the Wayback Machine for a little bit here. How did this become such a big issue for you? You joined the Marines and you were there in Vietnam and serving your country. But how did Israel and the Jewish people become such a passion?
Well, I had a great opportunity right after Vietnam was winding down to go to the Middle East. And I was in Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and Cyprus and you name it. And the last place I was going to stop before I went back to the States was Israel. And I only thought of Israel as just another Middle Eastern country. I was interested in the Six-Day War, the 67 War. But other than that, not much interest. Even though on the other side of my brain, there was all this information I had about the Jews and Jesus and everything I learned in Sunday school. And
yeah, and you were a believer. You were born again.
I was.
You got born again before you went in the Marines.
That's right.
God did amazing things when you were in Vietnam. So it's not like you were kind of a distant Christian. You were a committed Christian.
Yeah, I was, but there was a wall in my mind between the biblical Israel and the modern state of Israel. Mm. And that first night when I was in Tel Aviv, I got in a taxi. I'm riding in the back, and I look at the driver, and I think he's Jewish. I'm not even sure what a Jew is, really. And I lean over, and I said, hey, are you guys still looking for the Messiah? And he turned on me, took his hands off the wheel, and he said, of course we are. And whoa, I sat back in the seat. It was like being slapped with a wet towel in the face. Thank God for that. It started, my life changed from that moment on because I started thinking, wait a minute. Is this where all these biblical things happen? I mean, I can't believe I was that stupid.
Yeah.
but things were starting to fall into place. The rest of the time I was there on this trip, I'm looking for where did this happen? And where was that? And oh my goodness. And going back and reading those biblical stories. Now, that's 1972. From that moment on, my desire to learn everything I could about Israel and then about the Jews and then about Judaism. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff has never lessened. It's, as Steve said, maybe I've been there 90, 95 times. I don't really know. But each time I go, it's like a shot of adrenaline because I'm learning new things all the time. And yeah, I take groups and I lead the groups, but if it was the same old stuff, 90 some times, I would be bored to death.
Yeah, you'd be bored to tears.
Yeah, and I'm not, because we're constantly moving in other directions of finding things that are more biblically relevant. And it's not historical only. It's, I use a phrase, it's his story.
Yeah.
And his story is what's going on in Israel today is a fulfillment of prophecies that God made 3,000, 3,500 years ago. They're happening today, and you can see them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most people that go there don't. They show you, here's this happened here and that happened there, and I'm going home, and they say, oh, I had the greatest time of my life.
We're only looking at what happened in the past, not really what's going on today.
What's going on today is inspiring. It's so incredible, and I hope I've got time to tell you about it.
Yeah, and so the trick is, and going back to what you're saying, as many times as you've been there, really the more you go and the deeper you dig, the more fascinating it is, the more encouraging it is, and the more the whole story, his story, history, comes to life because it's happening now. We're like, well, there's that back then. There's what happened with the Jews back then, and there's what happened to Jesus back then. And then in the future sometime, Jesus is coming back, and that's going to be awesome. And we live in the boring in-between, except that's a stinking lie, isn't it?
It is a lie because it's not the boring in-between. We are seeing fulfillment of things right now that prophets and kings desired to see, and they didn't see it. Mm. And it's happening right now before our very eyes. And I mean this week it's happening. And that's what makes God's word so accurate.
Yeah, because it's alive and it's still happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sit there, and that's why even some people say, boy, I love Bible stories. It makes it sound like we're picking up Aesop's fables or something, right? I love Bible stories and the characters in the Bible, which all makes to me always sounds like it's fiction. It's not.
That's right.
You're picking up a historical book. Yes, it has various different types of communication. You've got poetry, you've got wisdom literature, you've got narrative. But it is an accurate recording of what actually happened. And there's things going on today, not just what we're looking forward to in the future. We'll keep talking to John Somerville. Again, 30-year retired Marine. We appreciate your service, John, and his passion for not just Israel, but the Jews. We'll talk about all that when we come back. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. Hang in there. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show here on just a beautiful Friday in Raleigh, North Carolina. And John Somerville is with me today, a new friend, but an eternal friend. And he's got just a passion for not only Israel, but the Jewish people, which started along. When would you say the spark was, John? And John served our nation admirably, 30 years as a Marine. But when was the spark? If you have to go back and pin a year.
Yeah, well, it was 72.
72.
It was the first evening that I was in Israel.
Yeah.
And that started me on a trajectory that has not cooled off in all those years.
Yeah, you act like you just got back from your first trip. I mean, that's the way you're acting.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Which I really appreciate. That your passion is wonderful. By the way, if you are here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area listening on Truth Radio, they're gonna do a little meet and greet tomorrow at noon at a restaurant in North Raleigh. I don't want to just start throwing all that information out. So if you want to be a part of that, and it's not going to be a huge thing, but if you want to come and learn more and ask, and John leads trips to Israel, you got how many? A couple more this year at least, right?
Yes, we do.
A couple times a year. Mm-hmm. And just information, you want to pick his brain about the Jewish people and that role in biblical Christianity in Israel today and prophecy and fulfillment. Hopefully that's something that interests you. But if you're here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, that's going to be tomorrow, Saturday, January 12th at noon. So here's what I want you to do. Just call in and we'll get your name and we'll get your email address and then we'll get you the information for tomorrow. So if you're interested in coming out and meeting John and picking his brain and just having a conversation about the Jewish people, Israel, just an awesome opportunity tomorrow. You rarely have an opportunity to sit down with somebody that knows this much about that subject and is that passionate. So if you want to be a part of it, just give us a call. We'll get your name and your email address and we'll get you the info. 866 888-348-7884 is our number, as always. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH if you want to come to a little meet and greet, private meet and greet with John tomorrow. Saturday, January 12th at noon in North Raleigh. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to be a part of that. 866-34-TRUTH. Or if you're on Facebook Live, you want to join us there, just send me a note on Facebook and we'll get you connected. So that first trip, and all of a sudden it kind of comes alive. But what all did you start to discover about not just Israel but the Jewish people that really kind of kept you tuned into this subject?
I think one of the things was trying to understand Christians' relationship to Jews. And I would go to synagogues and people basically say, "Why are you here?"
Yeah.
And I was having a hard time explaining that. I said, "I just want to know more." And they say, "About what?" I said, "About you. And I see in the Bible where it says, you're the chosen people." And they always come back with Tevye's remark, "Oh, I wish they'd choose somebody else for a while." But in fact, they say that. But deep in their heart, there is something there that says, yes, God did choose us for something special. Mm. And as I thought about that and dwelled on it, I got deeper and deeper into what God's Word says about the chosen people, and about Genesis 12:3, where it says, if you are a blessing to Abraham's descendants, and those are the Jews today, then God is going to bless you. And it implies, it also applies to our nation, because I'm always trying to figure out where does our vote really go? Yeah. And are we really electing people, or does God move in, or does God move the heart of a king or of a president? And I'm working on a book right now. It's just about finished, and it has to do with the presidents who have been a blessing to Israel. Mm. And I found something in their lives that is very unique, and there's about five of them. Before they were 7 years of age, something happened wonderfully that did not turn them against the Jews. That's hard to explain unless you come from an area that was very anti-Semitic. Yeah, it was kind of the way I was raised. And I'll give you an example. Harry Truman, who recognized the State of Israel in 1948, against all the advice of everybody in his cabinet, everybody was opposed to him doing it. But when he was between 5 and 6 years old, his mother insisted that they leave the farm in Grandview, Missouri, and they moved to Independence, Missouri. And so they moved into Independence, and they moved right next door to probably the only Orthodox Jewish family in Independence, Missouri at that time. And Harry, this is from interviews with the children of that family, Harry was in their house all the time, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, and so much so that they called him their Shabbos Goy. And the Shabbos Goy is a Gentile who on Shabbat or on Sabbath will come into a Orthodox Jewish home and do things they can't do, like light fires.
Yeah.
So you'd light the lamps, and he'd do all that kind of stuff for them. Now, his parents could have said, "Don't go next door. There are Jews over there. Think, smell that food. It's weird." Yeah. They allowed him to do that. Mm. Years later, there's a lot of stories about Harry and his connection to the Jews, but also to the people who tried to keep him from blessing them. He's 65 years old. And he recognizes the State of Israel.
Yeah.
Now, that blessed all of us.
Sure, certainly.
Because it talks about this in Scripture. Those are laws, spiritual laws that can't be broken. You either get with it. If you're a curse to Abraham's descendants,
That's not going to go well.
It's going to bring a curse on you.
Well, you talked about that. You're mentioning the book you're writing now about U.S. presidents, but a former book, a previous book you wrote, The Rise and Fall of the British Empire, which is what I've been working my way through, consequences of decisions to either bless or curse the Jewish people, and how that impacted what happened with the British Empire. And you see it time and time again. You bless the Jewish people and Israel, and guess what? Good things are going to come your way. You get on the wrong side of that deal, because God put that in place, and things are not going to go your way. We see that today in the Middle East and throughout the world.
Yeah, I had another subtitle to the book that I don't know what happened to it. It was Two Easy Ways to Destroy Your Empire. and Britain did this. By 1917, The British Empire was the greatest empire in the history of the world. The sun never sat on the British Empire. So all around the world.
All around the world.
And they were affecting it for good, too. More missionaries went out from Britain. More hospitals. Remember Dr. Livingston, you know, I presume. These were the kind of people that were going out from Britain in that heyday when they were blessing the world. So at 1917, they came up with the Balfour Declaration. And basically they said, when we win World War I, we're going to take over Palestine. We're going to carve up the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And we will make it a Jewish state. And that was a blessing to the Jews. Within a very few years after that, the government and many in the British military and everything all started working against that. And eventually you had a real mess where the Brits sided with the Arabs against the Jews, and they divided the land. It says in Joel 3, don't scatter my people and don't divide the land. Mm. They started chopping the land up. First, they chopped off 77% of it, and they said, no Jews allowed, only Arabs. We'll call it Jordan, Transjordan. And then they gave away the Golan Heights and all this stuff. All of that is scripturally, it says, a nation is judged by how they treat the Jews and how they treat the promised land.
Yeah, yeah. And you see it time and time again throughout history. Yeah.
30 years, it was the end of the British Empire. They were back to being a little island up there in the North Sea.
Yeah, with bangers and mash is now their claim to fame. This is Steve Noble talking to Mr. John Somerville, who's just passionate, obviously, about Israel and the Jews. We'll talk about some of the trips that they're doing and why we should care and the type of prophecy that we're seeing fulfilled today on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Mr. John Somerville today, who's just passionate about Israel and the Jews and its place in our lives, not just as we study the Bible and look at the past, but today and, of course, the future as we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what's going on there? He's been to Israel over 90 times and still leads tours, about a couple tours a year. And I put the links up to his website for the tours. That's just called Israel Somerville, S-O-M-E-R-V-I. IsraelSomerville.com, and I put a link up to his Facebook page on our Facebook live feed right now, so you can go check it out that way. But also, John is here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'm at doing the show, and tomorrow he's doing a little meet and greet. We've had several people call in already, but he's doing a meet and greet tomorrow at noon. That's Saturday, January 12th here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So if you're in the Triangle area listening on the Truth Radio Network, for the rest of you, just go online and check things out that way, obviously. But you can call in. We just want to get your name and your email address, and then we'll get you the information where this is going to be tomorrow at noon, and come out and you can have your conversation with John and pick his brain and ask questions and have great conversation. He's just a wonderful man of God. So just give us a call, and again, your name and your email address. 866-34-TRUTH is our phone number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Just give us a call before the show is over. Again, we'll just get your name and your email. We'll send you the information. And if you're here in the Triangle area in North Carolina, come out tomorrow at noon. It's in the North Raleigh area at a restaurant there, and we'll give you that information. You can come out and talk to John yourself. So today, in terms of the Jewish people, you've mentioned this several times. We were talking about it during the commercial break. So if you're with us on Facebook Live, you'll hear some things that you don't always hear on the air. But you've seen in all these decades you've been going, John, you've seen kind of the heart of the Jewish people softening to the gospel. What do you mean by that, and what are some things that you're seeing?
Well, let me back up a little bit, because one of the presidents who had a great impact on Israel and never went there himself was Ronald Reagan. And it was a pretty bumpy 8 years with the relationships between Israel and the United States during those years. But one of the things Reagan did was he had four summits with Mikhail Gorbachev. And they would hammer out these issues that they're going to talk about. All their aides did that months in advance. And every time they'd sit down together, Reagan would go off script. I mean, here was an actor. He's supposed to follow the script. And he'd say, Mr. Gorbachev, First of all, you got to let the Jews in Russia learn Hebrew if they want to learn it. You got to let them have a synagogue. And if they apply to go to Israel, you got to let them go. And Gorbachev would just bristle and he'd say, don't tell me what I do in my country. The Jews are happy. Don't give me any of that stuff. Reagan did this for 8 years.
Wow.
And you know, Gorbachev's going, here we go again. And Reagan would talk to George Shultz, his Secretary of State, when he would meet with the foreign minister. And he said, oh, George, by the way. And he'd pull a list out of his coat pocket. And he said, these are Jews I know who are in Siberia because they want to go to Israel. Raise this issue on each one of these names.
Wow.
Now, Reagan kept this going. When he left office, by that time, Gorbachev had been so impressed by this or irritated by it, he said, let him go. 1 million Jews left Russia.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
And I was there in those days. I was running baseball camps in the summer. Every night there was a flight from Russia coming in. Israelis would go to the airport to meet the Russian Jews that were coming in.
Wow.
It was an exciting, exciting time. But these were the cream of the crop. These were scientists. These were physicists. These were doctors. These were musicians. I'd see 3 and 4 Jews standing on a street corner all playing violins with their hat down on the street because
Wow. You
can only absorb so many doctors
many people, sure.
and all of that stuff. And it was but it changed Israel. The ambassador from Israel to the United States, one of them is a good friend of mine. And I asked him recently, I said, how have the Russians changed Israel? He said, they changed us immeasurably. First of all, they demanded that the education system have more science, more math. They raised that issue. They did a lot of other things too. But one of the things, all the high tech right now, the stuff in your computer and in your watch and your telephone, all these inventions that have come out of Israel are Russian inspired.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And today, Israel is booming in the high tech field.
Yeah.
Only Silicon Valley is ahead of them. But you know what's at the basis of it are the Russians. It's not those that came in 90 and 91. It's their children.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that are getting born again. Mm. They talk in Israel about 35,000 born-again Jews, and almost all of them are Russians. You know why? They came in empty.
Yeah.
They had no spirituality about them or anti-spirituality. They grew up under the Soviet Union.
Yeah, yeah.
God is working in the heart of that nation like we've never seen before, and it wasn't done by pamphlets and people standing.
Yeah. It wasn't man-made.
No,
it's God-made.
Yeah,
in the Holy Spirit.
That's one of the great thrilling things that's going on in that country right now.
Now, what's some of the goals that you have? Because your tour's in Israel, and by the way, if you want to check out John's website on that, it's just Israel Somerville. Somerville. I put the link up on Facebook Live, IsraelSomerville.com. But when you do tours there, it's not your typical where all basically every tour of Israel, they go to the same sites, all the famous sites. But yours is a little different.
Yeah, we hardly go to any of those because most of those are sacred cows. I was just reading a book by a guy that wrote a book about sacred cows.
It's excellent. I'll make sure you get one.
I want to meet the author. Anyway. They are. Look, these were pieces of property that were grabbed 500-600 years ago. Churches were built on them, and then they came up with the story of what happened there. And people are moved when they go and they hear the same story. But most of them, biblically and archaeologically, are fake. You know, fake news. It started a long time ago.
Yeah.
We really attempt to go to places that are as biblically accurate as possible. And that changes what we do also.
Yeah, it's not like you're picking up this information off of some weird website. You've been doing study on this stuff for decades.
Oh, look, I've been – some of these things take me 3 or 4 years before I dare to take people to some of them. I want to check it out. I don't want to be guilty of teaching something that's wrong. And I've taught things that are wrong because I was just teaching what I'd been taught. And one of these has to do with the probable location of the crucifixion. It's not where everybody goes. And also the most likely location of where the temple is, where the temple under Solomon and under Herod, the temple that was there during Second Temple period when Jesus was there, it's not where everybody tells you it is. And that changes, you know, what we call the Bible stories, and I don't like to use the word stories either. It almost sounds like fantasies.
Yeah, like we're talking about Lord of the Rings or something.
So we do something else. Most of the time, we'll go and spend a half a day with the Israeli army. Now, why would you want to do that? Because this also is prophetic, that they actually have an army now after 2,000 years of never having such a thing. And I want them to meet these troops. Yeah, and I want them to talk about the ethics of how – and look, this is difficult for a Marine who we, of course, know we were the best.
Right, of course. Hands down.
To say
– I got no challenge for that.
Here is something that is ethically correct, and it's – and it's combat. So everybody gets to shoot an Uzi. Everybody gets to shoot weapons that – and most of the people I take have never handled a weapon in their life. But when they leave there and they've met these soldiers and these soldiers are passionate about what they do, they go, wow, this is different. I'm glad I begin to understand this. It also teaches us a lot about what's going on in the world today. What is this fight with the Islamic terrorists? Why is this clash? And this clash is only about two countries, really. It's about what the Ayatollah Khomeini called the little Satan and the great Satan.
That's right.
And we're the great Satan.
Israel and America. That's
but
it.
The little Satan is Israel.
That's right.
And that's why they are in the bullseye. Yeah.
What do you see happen to your average Christian that goes on a trip?
You know, I can only work with the background, and I can get them to these places and I can lay the scripture in front of them, but it's God who works in people's hearts, and I have to leave that up to him. I can't manufacture that.
Mm-mm.
And but people tell me it's a life changer, and I have people tell me that who normally wouldn't say that stuff. I had a grandson who in tears, who's a tough kid. He's in the Air Force now. Maybe he's not so tough.
Yeah, but anyway. Not as tough as a Marine, but we'll give him some props.
He said, it was a life changer for me. That's not usually the stuff you're going to tell your grandfather.
No.
And I want it to be as life changing for people as it has been for me, because don't live in life without passion. Don't live without really standing for things. And you really – look, I give people these baseball caps I just made, and they're blue and white, Israeli colors, and it says, Making Israel and America Great Again.
There you go.
You got to be passionate to really believe that and to do it and stand for something. And by the way, Trump is so loved in Israel because of moving the embassy to Jerusalem. That is a great thing he did.
Yeah.
Changing the Middle East.
Yeah, it's really amazing that he did that. And love him or hate him, you got to give him a lot of props for that. We're talking to John Somerville and about Israel, about the Jewish people. A few more questions that I have for you, John, and we'll keep talking about that. Again, if you're in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, want to be with John tomorrow, give us a call. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, talking to Mr. John Somerville, who is a retired Marine. And you were a colonel in the Marine Corps, right?
Yes, I was.
30 years and then retired. Do you ever miss it? You're always a Marine, though. You're not like a is there such a thing as a retired Marine? I mean,
there's
really
not an ex-Marine.
Right. Got it. That's what it is.
It's former Marines and all that stuff. Yeah, there's things about it that I still miss. It was the camaraderie of being with men, and you all kind of had this common background and a set of beliefs. And it wasn't necessarily spiritual beliefs,
it's
but
a
it
code,
was like,
really.
Yeah, it was a code of conduct
that
I wasn't written, but and if somebody would violate it, I mean, you just didn't do that. And so it's kind of like FBI agents. And I feel so – I have one FBI agent who went to Israel with me. And this person was so proud of being an FBI agent.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to be betrayed by the top, by Jim
Comey,
and all those guys – it's and I would relate to this agent, I'd say, you know, it's as if a Marine like me found out the commandant of the Marine Corps was a big criminal and all that stuff. It would hurt.
Sure.
And
because it brings shame on that brotherhood.
That's right. So I miss that brotherhood.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's unique and it's interesting to put it in theological terms. Being a member of the Marines and I've sent I was in New York City on November 9th of 2001, and I spent the day with firefighters in a firehouse that had lost four or five members. And there's just a brotherhood there that exists that most of us don't ever taste anything like that. It's on the supernatural side, that's the way it's supposed to be in Christianity. I always tell when I meet Christians, no matter where they are, at the beginning of the show, I said, well, John's my new friend, but he's my eternal friend. Mm-hmm. So you can run, but you can't hide, John, because you're stuck with me for the rest of eternity. So, but you have this connection. It's immediate that I meet a believer in another part of the world. And immediately we have a fellowship. We have a camaraderie that supersedes everything else. And it's a meta narrative. It's a story that's outside of yourself. It's a group and a family that's outside of yourself. And it's hard to find that, but that's what it's supposed to be like in Christianity. And of course, that's what it's like in the Marines. Yeah, that's fascinating. The average Christian today and the Jewish people and Israel, what would you suggest to us? What would be your encouragement to us as to how we should feel about them, how we should engage that, and what role should that play in our lives as 21st century New Testament Christians?
Make a friend of a Jewish person. Mm. Find – I said this one night in Houston, and I got a lot of baloney for it. I said, if you want to be blessed in your life, go out and find a Jew and bless him. And it's like
– oh, yeah. I can see how that's not going to go over well.
that was pretty – it's true.
Tell everybody to light up.
I would say – and look, don't go out and try to convert every Jew you run into.
They're people. They're not targets and they're not projects. Nobody likes to be a project.
That's right. If you want to have an influence on another person – don't try to be a salesman and just hammer them without spending time, without getting to know them, without getting to really get to the point where they trust you. And the greatest friends I have, if I just started listening, friends, they're Jews, and they're not born-again Jews.
Yeah.
Okay? But they would – my wife and I have been sort of adopted by elderly Jewish couples. They know exactly what we stand for, and they can't – you know, I wish they were in my family, to be treated by them with such speciality. And that's how they're God's chosen people.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading today in Romans, and it said about we're to make them jealous. Paul said to make them. And then I thought of a line I heard a long time ago. Made any Jews jealous lately? Have our lives been so blessed by God that people – that a Jew would look at us and say, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I want that relationship.
Yeah, because there's that – well, you believe in God. I believe in God. But you got something else going on that I haven't experienced. When I was in northern Iraq on a mission trip a few years ago, and my oldest son went with us – went with me, and I went with the group. And I had at one point I had been at the Getty, so incredible praise and worship writers. And they were here in town, actually on campus here at Southeastern. And I was just moved, and I wouldn't normally do this. During one of their songs, there were 900 people in the chapel, and everybody's praising and worshiping the Lord, and a lot of hands up. And this was maybe a month before we were going to northern Iraq, and something compelled me, and it was the Holy Spirit, obviously, when I closed the circle on this story, to record a couple minutes of it. So I recorded it. There was a young man there, a Kurd in northern Iraq, who if you ask him, hey, you going to heaven? Definitely not. I'm a really bad Muslim. And I showed him that. So just showed him. You believe in God? Yeah, of course, he believes in Allah. And, you know, that's another conversation. But I said, let me just show you something. And John, the bewilderment on his face as he watched a bunch of Christians worshiping the God of the Bible, the God of creation, a theistic God, looking at that and seeing this joy and this connectivity and this familiarity and the depth of that love, he'd look at it and he'd look at me and he'd look at it and he'd look at me. And when we finished, I said, what do you think about that? He goes, "That I've never seen anything like that."
Yeah.
Because they cannot experience the joy of the Lord through Islam, just like a Jew's not mostly going to get that through Judaism either. So that's, I think that's what you're getting at. That's what I saw.
Yeah. We need to think of them the way God sees them. He made a covenant with them. They're the chosen people that hasn't been withdrawn, that's still part of God's eternal covenant. And, you know, Jesus is a Jew. And Jesus was a Jew. I don't see where he turned his ethnicity card in just because he ascended.
Right.
It says he's coming back as the line of Judah. That sounds pretty Jewish to me.
Yeah, good point.
And if I was ever asked by him, how'd you treat my kin?
Wow. See?
I want to say.
Pretty heavy question.
Look, I love your kin. Mm-hmm. And loving him, and I told you this a little bit earlier, but this is one of the great things that was ever said to me. It was only a year or two ago where a rabbi said this to me. And we were talking about
a Messianic Jew or a rabbi?
A Messianic rabbi.
Okay. So he'd come to faith in Christ.
He did. And he's also a rabbi now. And so I was talking to him about being Jewish and explaining my viewpoint of it. Just as you said, they're always looking for other members of the tribe.
Right.
And I've had Jews said, you know, you keep it up, we're going to make you an MOT. I said, what's that? Member of tribe. And so I said, God moved in my heart in such a way that I'm attracted to Jewish people. It doesn't matter how they treat me. And so he said, well, you know what that is? That's Colossians 1:27, where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then I started blabbing on. I said, oh, yeah, Christ in me. That's right. I try to remember that. If it's truly Christ in me, then he sees what I see. Here's what I'm saying, yeah. And all that sort of stuff. And he says, all right, hold it right there. The reason you love the Jews is because it's Christ in you. That means, John, you got a big Jew inside of you. Jesus is the biggest Jew of all.
Now, and as a completed Jew, a Messianic Jew, he can say that all day long. If we came up with that, that would be a different story. But that's pretty awesome. And that's the reality of it. And I think we often disconnect. We think Jewish. We think Old Testament. And but yeah, Jesus didn't renounce his ethnicity, and he didn't say, I'm coming back as a lion of Americanism. He says he's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And obviously, the Jewish people, which is a complicated subject in the New Testament context, are the apple of God's eye in many different ways. And it's a bit of a mystery in many ways, but it's pretty obvious as you go throughout Scripture. And we're almost done. Any other tours you're doing this year that people could be a part of? I know you do some for pastors and ministry leaders, but just kind of general public Christians going on.
Yeah, we're doing one in March, the 25th of March to the 5th of April, and that is the best time of the year to be in Israel. It's spring, and the whole place is alive with color, and that only lasts for a few weeks.
Wow.
And that's a great time to go. We also go in November. Sometimes I take a small group in the summer. I think we did four or five last year.
Wow, amazing!
You're always in a different time zone, even when you're back home.
yeah, international travel will do that to you. So yeah, March 25th, and by the way, all that information, if you want to check out John's website, Israel Somerville, SOMERVILLE is the website, Israel Somerville. com. And then if you're here in the Triangle area of North Carolina where I'm at, tomorrow John's going to be doing a meet and greet and conversation and continue talking about these things. So if you want to just dive into the subject, have questions, just come meet him as a brother in Christ. And maybe it's just because he's, and this is no small thing, served 30 years as a Marine and serving our country. That's going to happen tomorrow at noon here in North Raleigh, that part of the market. So if you want to check that out, we still have room for some folks. So give us a call in the next couple minutes. We just need your name and your email address. We'll send you the information. That'll be tomorrow at noon. 866-348-7884 is the number here for the show and to get that information for tomorrow. 866-348-7884 and 866-34-TRUTH. Got about a minute left, John. Any final words of encouragement for folks just on the topic?
Yeah, you know, I've written a couple of books which are being printed in Jerusalem, and I love that that's being done that. And if you want to find out about the first one that is out right now, go to lulu.com and put down anything about the rise and fall of the British Empire, and it's available there, lulu.com.
There, nice and easy. And then the book you're working on right now, same basic direction but with U.S. presidents, is that right?
The United States presidents who've been a blessing to Israel and brought a blessing on us, on our nation.
Fascinating. John Somerville, thank you so much for being here today and encouraging us and equipping us and challenging us. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, Steve, this was fun.
Absolutely.
You're a joy to talk to.
We'll do it again. Well, every once in a while somebody says that, so I'll make sure I tell my mom. But it's great having you here. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. I hope you have a great weekend. I do have a movie review for you. I usually do that on Fridays. I'll talk about that early next week. But God willing, we'll meet again then. And like my dad always said, ever forward.